Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We were having a chat on the programme earlier on as to whether pubs and restaurants should have calorie counts on the beer taps and let you know what's in a glass of wine, for example, or on your menu when you're ordering food. And lots of messages coming in on this. John says, I'm a regular drinker. I always find ways of cutting down my drinking, of trying to find ways of doing that. I'm old school in terms of change, but I think it's a good idea even to help have less on a night out. It won't always work, but it will influence your thought process. Another from Jay, I've struggled with obesity all my adult life. It's a dreadful health burden. It affects my quality of life a lot. Well done to those pubs and restaurants who show calorie info. I found alcohol-free beers and low-cal beers are a godsend when socialising and trying to avoid weight gain. Another, though, says make the alcohol percentage prominent on the beer tap because this is more relevant to health than calorie count, but it also gives a close indication of comparative calorie count. And when we got that message in, we had a little look to see whether the alcohol itself has high calorie count in it. And it does, apparently, empty calories with no nutritional value or benefit. And the NHS website says there's 7 calories per gram, which is almost as many calories as a gram of fat, and just in the alcohol. So forget about what else might be in your beer or your wine or your spirit. I completely agree with the doctor. Display the calorie content and reduce the portion. A combination of both is the way forward since some establishments have displayed the calorie content. I absolutely make decisions based on that. And that goes for alcohol, restaurants and takeaways. This listener says, I don't drink or smoke. I sometimes go for a non-alcoholic beer or wine. But when I read the nutritional label, as I'm prone to do, I noticed the sugar content and it was huge. So I don't drink those anymore. Sparkling water for me. I also think that in general, the nutrition labels on all foodstuff should be in bigger print because it is way too small. And 51551 if you want to send us a message on that. Or perhaps this, because no spoilers here. If you're a fan of Succession, you might remember this moment. This is from the second season of that TV show. So there's a black tie event to celebrate media mogul Logan Roy's 50 years in business. His son Kendall takes to the stage and does this.
Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you here tonight to honor my dad's life and work. So when Ray was planning this, she asked me to help out with a little tribute of a certain flavor. And after a lot of convincing, well, here we are.
Is he about to strip?
My boy Squiggle cooked up this beat for me. Check it. Born on the North Bank, king of the East Side, 50 years strong, now he's rolling in a sick rod, handmade suits, raking in loot. 5-star general, yo, best salute. Yo, bitches be
no.
Mad, but the king
is
mad.
No. No. Ken W.A.
I read it. It is burning my eyes, but I cannot look away.
That's exactly what we're talking about. It's burning my eyes, but I can't look away. Cringe TV shows. Some people love them. Some just cannot bear to watch. Conor Behan, DJ and host of The Request Show on 2FM, was sitting here visibly cringing.
I was watching you as
that.
A start.
I was cringing
you were like,
too.
Oh no, here we go.
And Adele Coffey joins us as well, journalist and author. Thank you for being with us. Conor, the fact is some people just can't bear to watch stuff like that when it's just too cringe inducing. Are you a fan of it? Do you like it?
When it's done well, I really think it's very satisfying. You have to be in the humour for cringe comedy, and even a show like Succession, which is drama with a dash of very well done cringe comedy. But when it works, it's so satisfying. And there's something so like, I can't believe they went there, but I'm so glad they did. And the kind of, you're laughing and also recoiling into your couch as you watch it.
And Adele, what about you? Do you enjoy watching scenes like that, or is it sometimes just too much?
Yeah, no, I really do enjoy it. It's funny, cringe TV is not actually my go-to TV, but actually I do, I'm a huge fan of Succession. Obviously, please no spoilers.
Yes, I'm in that camp too.
Claire takes over at the end. It's Claire Byrne. She's the very big reveal.
But yeah, I think cringe TV actually is in some ways this kind of, why it's so unbearable to watch is because it holds a mirror up to ourselves, I think. And I think that's why I don't watch it as much as I watch other stuff, because it is just so uncomfortable, because any of us could be in that situation where we think something's a good idea, like perhaps making a rap for our father's 50th work anniversary. And then it just, you know, it's just so unbelievably embarrassing, uncool. I think uncool is a huge part of cringe TV. You know, if you think of all the characters, I know we're going to talk about the most famous ones, but they all share that. Well, uncoolness.
Let's talk about some of those uncool characters now. So, The Office. Here's a clip, if you can bear this one. This is the original British Office first. David Brent talking about his music career before he became a paper salesman.
Yeah, and I get all this, oh, David, you know, you're a brilliant singer-songwriter. You're stuck in Slough. Well, it's Texas that are off, you know, making all the money. You know, and they're rubbish compared to you. And I go, don't slag them off. I say, I've been there, I've done that, you know, that's behind me, you know. And I, you know, I respect, thing is, we're both good in our own fields. I'm sure Texas couldn't run and manage a successful paper merchants, yeah. I couldn't, you know, I could do what they do. And I think they knew that even back then, probably what spurred them on.
Spaceman came down to answer some things. The world gathered round from paupers to kings. I'll answer your questions, I'll answer them true. I'll show you the way, you know what to do. Who is wrong and who is right? Yellow, brown, black or white? The spaceman, he answered, you no longer mind. I've opened your eyes, you're now colourblind. Racial, so...
Is he the ultimate, David Brent? Is he the ultimate cringe character?
He's certainly up there. I think when you think of British cringe comedy, it's David Brent and Alan Partridge are probably neck and neck. And then, of course, The American Office and Michael Scott, who is basically the American David Brent, has become, I think, canon for people who are into cringe comedy as well.
We have a bit of him as well. We'll take a bit of Michael Scott from The American Office. This is during a party. Michael wants to make a speech.
Everyone, I'm sorry. Should I have your attention, please? Thank you. Ah, hi, sorry, I just have an announcement to make. Okay, I have learned a lot about Indian culture tonight, but I have learned even more about love. And I know you're all thinking, who is this crazy gringo and what is he talking about? Well, I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm crazy in love. So, without further ado, Carol Stills, I would like you to do me the honor of making me your husband.
Oh, Michael.
What do you say?
Can we talk about this in private?
I didn't hear you.
Can we talk about this in private?
You gotta be kidding.
Hello? Make it stop.
It's like the answer to every video of so-and-so proposed at a festival. You're like, that's what they probably really want to say. I don't want to get married at Codaline. Can we come back to this in a year, maybe? Anyway, so yeah, oh, that was hard. That was tough going.
We have had the US office there, yeah, and we had the UK office. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between how both places use cringe comedy?
I think so. I mean, American cringe comedy has been very successful. I think sometimes there is a sense of they try to redeem the characters, or they're a little bit softer, or they try and find more of light and shade. I mean, the US office got bigger when they actually made it a little bit warmer and brought the character stuff into it more. So that was, I think, the difference of that in the UK one.
Adele, Connor made a point earlier where he said you have to be in feel a certain way yourself to enjoy cringe comedy. Do you agree with that? That there are just certain, yeah, days where you go, I cannot watch that today.
Yeah, I yeah, think, and now I know Catastrophe is not cringe comedy, but I found it really difficult to watch Catastrophe when it first aired because I was going through almost exactly the same experience in many ways. And I just felt like somebody had eavesdropped on my conversations that day to write that script. So I think you have to be in a nice, confident place, yeah, because I think so much of cringe comedy is about your worst nightmare being lived out, or your worst social faux pas, or your, yeah, worst gaffe. And if you are in a bad place, or maybe, I think there's a lot of loneliness actually, particularly in characters like Alan Partridge and David Brent, you know. There's so much loneliness and desperation for connection that if you're feeling that way yourself, which we all do at times, it's not the thing you need to be watching to cheer you up. Like,
yeah,
you need
just,
to.
Yeah, it's too close to the bone, isn't it?
Mm. Well,
listen, you both mentioned the king of cringe, Steve Coogan's Alan Partridge. So we have a clip now from a Christmas special of his show, Knowing Me, Knowing You. So he interviewed his own boss in this. This is the new commissioning editor for the BBC, Tony Hares, the man who was responsible for whether Alan would get a second series of his show.
Tony, welcome to the show. Before you came to the BBC, you were chairman of Euro International Airlines, and whilst you were there, you sacked over 2,000 people. Will you be doing the same at the BBC?
Well, I don't know about that, Alan, but I will be looking at our output very carefully. We live in a market economy, and the BBC should be no exception. That's how I see it. So every programme will have to justify itself, and, you know, if it's a lame duck, it may have to go.
Well, let me assure you that Knowing Me, Knowing You with Alan Partridge is a very healthy duck with plenty of legs. So, so you can axe any show you like, as long as you tell me I'm going to get a second series. Please, please tell me I've got a second series, boss. do you want to do that? Just to clear the air? I know this is not really the time.
No, it's not really the time, no.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry. I put you on the spot there. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed you. Everyone's embarrassed.
It's gone.
What's gone?
That moment. The moment's gone.
Oh, good. I thought you meant the second series.
Yeah, there we go.
So, maybe in the media, so close to the bone.
Is that the threshold, Adele, that you can't go beyond Alan Partridge?
No, actually, I love Alan Partridge so much. And I really feel like he is the too much cringe show. He pushes it so far. But that's what's so amazing about him. He is like your worst inner monologue. And he highlights in that clip the role misunderstanding plays in cringe comedy, where you're making everything so much worse by, you know, playing it a little bit wrong, or by saying the wrong thing, or being misunderstood, or misunderstanding somebody else. And, you know, the result is everything's now so much worse if I had said nothing. But yeah, he's the master, first created in 1991, I think, for radio. But without him, there is no David Brent. You know, he is just the absolute master.
Mm-hmm. I think you can take cringe more readily when it's in a comedy. Like when it's in a drama like Succession, sometimes it can be...
You're not expecting it.
Yeah, and it's more difficult, isn't it, to absorb it.
I didn't realise that Jesse Armstrong actually wrote Peep Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
As well as Succession. So
I know,
maybe that's why there is so much cringe in Succession.
Yeah, we'll hear
it. It has a lovely pathos. It makes you feel sorry for them, even though they're awful characters.
Yes, yeah, that's the beauty of it.
Well, I have something from Peep Show now. David Mitchell and Robert Webb, of course, in Peep Show, full of cringe moments. In this clip, they're going to get ready for Christmas dinner. And as you'll hear, we've had to make a couple of edits to the language in this one.
Where's the turkey, Jeremy?
What?
The turkey. Where's the turkey?
I thought you were getting the turkey.
You what? No turkey? You f***ing idiot, Jeremy. You total f***ing idiot. That was your job, you f***ing moron. You cretin. You're a f***ing. That's what you are. A f***ing head.
It was a joke, Mark. I was joking. It was a Christmas joke.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Of course I've got a turkey. It's an organic turkey. I took ages researching it online. It's going to be delicious.
That looks like a lovely turkey. I'm
sorry. That's just your standard.
I flew off the handle a bit.
That wasn't very Christmassy.
No, it wasn't. I apologise.
I'm probably taking these things too seriously, but sometimes I can't breathe during those clips.
Because it reminds us all of Christmas Day, right?
I watch a Gogglebox-style show of just you reacting to cringe telly. We could commission, speaking of Alan Partridge, you could commission a whole series of that while we're here. That'd
well, there was a moment in Succession last week when I was watching it at home, and it was so awkward and so cringeworthy. And Adele, I know you've seen it, haven't you?
Yes.
You're up to date. That I put my phone up to my face and started to say, no, 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 no.
You opened your ring someone about a FaceTime of friends.
No, I was just, there was nothing on my phone. I was just staring at the locked
different screen.
I could not watch that moment. It was so terribly awkward. And I hope there'll be more of that when I watch it later on tonight.
Yeah.
We're out of time. We'll have to leave it there. Conor B and Adele Coffey, thank you so much
for
taking us through some of the most awful cringes from TV. That brings us to the end of the show. Do have a lovely day. Thank you for listening. You can catch up on anything you might have missed on the RTE Radio app. The program programme was produced by the series producer Alistair McConnell, researched by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator was Louise Kerr-Ross. Ruth Kennington was on sound, and it's over now to Louise.
Thank you very much, Claire.